Amanda, are you there?
Hi, I'm Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
Amanda.
Hey, Amanda. Thanks. You give me a second to get my jitters out there. So I first came to Al-Anon about 11 years ago. And so my background is that I grew up in a whole family of alcoholics and drug addicts. My mom was an alcoholic and a meth addict. My dad was an alcoholic and a heroin addict. And my brother was a heroin addict. And everyone I knew pretty much drank. And so, you know, it was kind of just a way of life. When I, about 10, or I guess it was 11 years ago, I had gone through a really rough patch in my life, and I was super depressed and contemplating suicide and just having a really hard time. And I had gone back to where my family lived, and I had seen a teacher who had kind of been a guiding force for me when I was young. And, you know, I was just crying to him and having a really hard time. And he suggested that I go to Al-Anon. And he said that I should go and try to clear my table was the words that he used. And he told me that he made me promise to him that I should go to at least 3 meetings. And so I did that. And on the 3rd meeting, I met someone there who, told me about the meeting that I go to now, the Saturday Danville Al-Anon meeting. And, you know, so I gave it another shot and then I kind of got hooked. Because then I started to see things for me that were, that fit and that were really helpful. And, I stayed in Al-Anon for about a year and a half. And when I was there, I started to work a lot on my relationship with my mom. I didn't live with anyone who was an alcoholic at that time. I just was really affected by it. I didn't really understand that how affected I was by it. Since I had left and wasn't living it anymore, I thought that I was okay. And I thought that I had graduated from that period of my life. And, you know, especially now I'm realizing that it's affected me a lot more than I thought it did back then. And at that point of my life, I worked a lot on boundaries with my mom and my brother who was still using at that point. My dad actually died when I was 16, so he wasn't in the picture anymore. And then I stopped after about a year and a half. I had met the guy that I ended up marrying, and, you know, since then I've had a couple kids. And, you know, I've thought about going back to Al-Anon off and on, and I didn't because it was further away, and I don't know, it hadn't been something that I had to do. And then about a year ago, I was driving in the car with my kids, and my mom was supposed to have called because it was my kid's birthday, and she didn't. And it was really rare for her to not do something like that. And so I had my brother go check. And all the way while when I was in the car, I just, you know, I was freaking out of my head because I was worried she had a lot of health conditions. And, you know, and so I kept driving, and the thing that kept going through my head was, well, I guess I'm going to have to go back to Al-Anon if this is really it. And it was. So I arrived at my friend's house, and I got there, and, you know, my brother had gotten to her house and found her dead. And so I didn't know what else to do. I know that it helped me a lot when I was in a bad place before. And so, you know, I thought about therapy and stuff, but I've heard lots of mixed reviews on that. And I knew that Al-Anon could help me. I knew that it could help me get through anything because it had before. You know, I was at the point of wanting to kill myself back then. And so it got me through that, and it helped a lot and helped me grow. And so I came back. And what was really, really amazing to me is, you know, I didn't check in with anybody. I didn't look on the website. I just showed up one day to the place that I had gone to before, just hoping that it would be good again. And it was. At least half of the people there were the same. And that made me kind of feel like I went home a little bit. And so since I've been back there, you know, the last year I've spent a lot of time working through my mom's death, and you know, it's, I feel like it's not just a regular person dying. It's so much harder because it's been my mom, and it's so much harder because I not only lost my mom, I lost the opportunity to ever have my mom show up. And I spent so long in my life waiting for her to show up, and she didn't. And, you know, and then she died, and now she's never going to show up. And so that's been a really hard hurdle to kind of get through. But, you know, I got myself another sponsor, and I've been working through the steps, and it's been really good for me. You know, and I thought that I could, you know, deal with my life for the most part. And, you know, I've spent a lot of my time on my own and doing it on my own. And it's really hard to try to take guidance from somebody else, but I'm discovering that when I let other people in and I let other people help me, you know, it's been a lot easier to deal with life in general. And there's been so much that's happened in the last year. You know, it's being trapped at home, and I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and, you know, I don't work, but I, you know, I take care of them all the time. And so the struggle there is difficult for me because I'm stuck inside and trying to take care of them, and my own crap is coming up for me. You know, I want to run away and hide, and I can't. And so that's been hard. And, you know, because I've spent so long without any sort of support, you know, my relationship with my husband, while it started out as that whole honeymoon period, you know, it got to a point of being very superficial, and like my list of resentments to my husband is a mile long. And I don't want that. I want to have good relationships with my kids, and I want to have a better relationship with my husband. And so I keep coming back because I know I can get help here. And, you know, my kids and my husband were not something that were really on the table for me to even talk about when I came back. I just kind of was trying to deal with the grief at first and my relationship with my mom, because it was so, so messed up because of alcoholism. And so now I'm starting to open up a little bit more to looking at my relationship with my kids and my husband, and, you know, especially my kids, because I want my kids to have a good life, and I want them to have a mom who is there. I don't want them to have to go through the same thing that I have, where, you know, I've spent my whole life waiting for her to show up and not, and I don't want them to have that. So I keep coming back. And, you know, one example of that is, my older daughter has had, you know, this fear of monsters. And, so she wakes up in the middle of the night and she comes to my bedside, and the struggle that I've had is that, like, when she comes to my bedside, instead of like trying to care for her, I would fly off the handle and be really angry with her. And, you know, I want to be able to take care of her, but I couldn't because I was so mad that I wasn't there for her. And so, you know, I've just been teaching her that I can't be there for her in those instances. And so by talking through that kind of thing with my sponsor, you know, what I discovered about myself is, you know, like, it's my job to be woken up in the middle of the night as a parent. Like, that's what goes along with parenthood, right? But more than that, where that came from has nothing to do with my kids. It has to do with when I was a little kid, and, you know, my mom and her boyfriend would fight in the middle of the night, and then it would be time for us to run away from the fight because it was so bad that that's what we would do. They would get in these violent fights, and then we would have to leave. And so I was always on edge. And so when I get woken up in the middle of the night, it takes me back to that. And it takes me back to my mom not respecting me. Because she was partying all night and had friends over who would scream at 2 o'clock in the morning, just, you know, scream at nothing or sing or talk to themselves. And, you know, that's what I was angry at. But had I tried to figure that out on my own, I would have just still been angry with my kid, because I felt like she needed to respect me. And, you know, that's not what it's about. It's only because I've been doing this program I had, you know, that sounding board to be like, what are you really upset for? And to try a different way. And that's helped. My kid, it's taken a while, but she is now starting to sleep through the night again, which is, it's been a struggle, but she's doing better. And so that's good, you know? And so I want all of my life to start to get better. I don't just want to deal with my relationship with my mom anymore, because while I have to do that, I also have, you know, there's a lot of baggage there that I have to unpack, but I also want to be able to live my life. And so I can't do that if I'm still carrying around my back all the time. And so I keep coming back. You know, I don't know a whole lot more to say. Well, the other thing is that I struggle a lot with feeling like I belong in relationships. And, you know, when I first came to Al-Anon the first time, I remember sitting at dinner with some of the other people that I had met and just not knowing that I belonged there. And I was like, I don't know if this is where I should be, because I don't have someone who's actively drinking in my life or in my house actively drinking. And so, you know, I questioned that, and they laughed at me and, you know, asked me about my background. And then, you know, I told them about my mom and my dad and my brother, and, you know, and they're like, yeah, you belong here. But I couldn't believe that because I've been trying so hard to find that place and to find somebody who, I don't know. Who has my best interest? And I don't know. I feel like I have to constantly earn my place, because that's what I was taught that I needed to do, was I needed to earn my place. And so it didn't feel right, because my story didn't match completely. And also just, I wasn't doing anything except showing up and crying a lot. And I don't know. But it's something that I struggle with constantly. And so only now, this time around, that same question has come back up for me. And, you know, now I've had a chance to look at it again. And, you know, and so a big aha moment for me, you know, was kind of when I was talking with my sponsor, and, you know, she told me, you belong if you choose to belong, to be there, to have a seat. It doesn't really matter whether anybody else likes it or not, you get to decide if you belong in that circle. And so, you know, that's been good. It makes me want to stay. You know, and I've gone back and forth so much on whether I think I can do this by myself, but I know now, especially because this last year has been so hard with my mom dying, and then my grandma died 2 weeks ago, and the virus, and it's like it never ends. And so without having somebody that has my back and has my best interests, like, I know that I would get into these spirals, because that's what happens when I stop trying to do the work and I stop calling my sponsor, then I start having a harder time again. And so I don't want to live my life like that anymore. I want everything to get better. So I'm going to, you know, fight myself every time that I tell myself that I've got this. And, you know, constantly tell myself that I don't got this. I have to have other people there who have my best interest and have my back. So, you know, I'm really thankful for this program, and I'm thankful for that teacher who, you know, made me promise to come. And I'm thankful for those people who were still in that room after 10 years of me not showing up. So I'm really, really grateful for all of that. So I think that's it for me tonight. Thank you all.